Okay, we're hoping everybody heard
you. You don't have
there.
Any white lights.
Any white lights?
Yeah, yellow lights. Yellow lights.
I don't need yellow lights.
We're not on.
Yeah. Yeah, we're on.
We're on?
Believe it or not, we are on the air. Yeah.
Oh, that's why I didn't hear music. My headset. Beth, can you say something? I don't hear Beth.
We're on.
Okay.
We're on. Let me turn down the music here. All right. Welcome to
now
KFM Public
now
Affairs.
Now I believe you.
Turn up the headphones. Maybe you had our music too loud.
I was still in shock because Beth dropped her Evo. And
yeah.
When somebody drops a smartphone, that's almost like a dog getting hit in the road.
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, we've been on the air for, what, 10 years?
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
We've been doing this for 10 years, almost every week in most cases.
The board still mystifies me. I don't believe it. If I'm not out in the car listening,
are we on the air?
I believe
it. What does this button do?
Oh, all right. Boy. Well, let's say who we are. This is the KFM Radio Noontime Public Affairs Show here on 88.1 KAFM Grand Junction, Colorado. We have to say that once an hour for the FTC.
Headphones are turned up because I can't hear anything.
Yes, I was too, Beth. Beth is having a hard time too. Now can you hear me, Beth?
All right, we found the right one.
There's too many buttons, right?
Wow.
We need a touch screen. Beth and I need touch
screens. Welcome to our tech show. There's too many darn buttons on this board.
Well, that's right. It's buttons. We need switches. We need touch screens.
We need dials.
We need tech. Exactly. Yeah. No, not dials.
We need, if you can't operate it by gestures.
That's right.
We don't know
there
how to do
go.
It.
By yeah. voice or gesture. Anyway, my name is Rick Castellini.
I'm Adam Cochran.
I'm Beth.
Cochran.
Yeah.
We'll finish your name for. And we are bringing you the Noontime Public Affairs meeting and here on Grand Junction's KAFM. And our phone number is 241-8801, extension 1. This is your radio station, and this is your hour to ask questions about anything technology related. And I know you have tech questions because I can run into somebody in the grocery store. I can run into somebody walking downtown
and out in the lobby before the radio show.
They're going to have a question. So we know you have questions. Don't be afraid to call us, 241-8801, extension 1. Keep in mind, we can only take one call at a time. So if you get a busy signal or we don't answer right away, hold on or call right back as soon as you hear us. Get off the line, and we will get to your phone call. If you are shy about being on the air, as we are, all three of us here are pretty shy about being on the air, and you can tweet us. And at our Twitter accounts, Adam is at Talking Digital. I am at Help Me Rick. And you can tweet us your questions that way. We do not take email questions during the hour because email is so 90s. And so we are only doing Twitter questions digitally, but if you want to call us.
So early 2000.
So early 2000. You can call us at 241-8801 extension 1. For those folks listening on the web at kfmradio.org, you can call us at 970 is the area code, 241-8801 extension 1. And we will answer any technology questions you want. It's kind of interesting. I'm looking at our desk here. And, oh, by the way, Adam, I have a blindfold on. And I did lift the blindfold just for a second. Because Adam is in nothing but a towel and standing in a tub.
Yep.
Answering questions this week.
I am a man.
And Beth and I are averting our eyes.
Look at your woman.
But when I did look up just a second, I saw that we have three different smartphones on the table.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. Palm Pre, the Evo from HTC, and then the iPhone. So it's kind of cool. And we all love them, except for Adam. Adam is just still not sold.
Yeah, I am not sold on the Pre. I never will be. I do find it useful, but I'm hankering for an Android. I think I'm going for the Samsung Epic when it comes out.
You mentioned that. I went
That's
and looked at that.
That's the one I want. It's a nice
Now, that
phone.
Has a physical keyboard.
Has a physical keyboard.
You love the physical keyboard.
It's a slide
keyboard.
Slider. It's not a bottom slider. I prefer the bottom ones, like the Palms,
right.
But I'll go with anything right now.
I do have to say that out of all our phones here, I do like the Palm Pre's design.
Yeah.
It's got a great design.
Yep.
And it's nice and small, but yet fits well in the hand, and works very well. Miss Beth has her little Palm, or her little Evo, on the kickstand there. It's kind of fun to watch. All right, so
okay,
let's take
a
quick
call. Let's move on. Hello, you're talking about technology with Rick and Adam and Beth. What can we do for you?
Yes, hi there. I had several questions. One in particular on the YouTube channel on the internet. Is there a way to pull those video clips off onto a computer DVD?
Wow.
Burn it and then take it to a TV DVD and watch it on the TV.
Yeah.
Well, it depends. Well, the last part's it depends. You can do it. There are a couple tools. The best thing to use is Mozilla Firefox. And if you download and use Mozilla Firefox as your main web browser, you can go to Tools and Add-ons, and there's a couple of different tools. One is called Download.
I'm looking up the one I use.
The
one I use is called Download Helper.
Yeah.
Because it downloads almost every kind of video format. I really like it. Download Helper. If somebody's trying to call through right now, we just want to remind you that we can only take one call at a time, so wait till we hang up with this call and feel free to call through. But the one I use is called Download Helper, and it's a Firefox extension.
Free.
So you have to put Firefox on first and then install the Download Helper, and then every time you come to a video website where you can download the video, there's a little spinning icon that shows up in your toolbar, and you just click on it and download the video. Once you've downloaded the video, then you have to have some video editing software that or DVD creation software that lets you turn that particular type of video, which is usually an AVI or a .MOV format, into something that will play on DVD.
And you got to hope that it's a high enough quality. That's the big part about watching it on television is some of the YouTube videos are going to be small. I make mine pretty small so that they load quick, and they may not look great on a TV screen.
Exactly.
But you can do it. You can do it.
Do you know of what the video editing software may be?
Oh, there's tons of them out. There's tons of them out there.
Do you use a Windows computer?
Windows XP, yes.
Okay. Then there's a program from Nero. You might be familiar with the Nero name. There's a program.
Yes.
There's a program.
Photoshop. Adobe Premiere Elements.
Adobe Premiere Elements. ULEED makes one.
You can even use the pathetic little Windows Movie Maker that's included in Windows XP.
Well, Windows XP won't burn DVDs, though. You have to convert it to an... You'd still need the DVD creation software.
That's true.
So you need to get either one of the Nero programs or one from ULEED. There's also one from Pinnacle. That's a very good one. Pinnacle Studio. But there's a lot of them out there, and you might even be able to find one for free if you search around. I haven't done any looking, but you might find one. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, we're gonna move on here because we've got another call coming in. And if you want to call back with another question, feel free.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right, 241-8801, extension 1. Welcome to the Noontime Public Affairs here on KFM. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Oh, we're on the air.
We're
you
on the
are
air.
On the air, yes.
Okay, great.
The magic of radio.
Yeah, Chalmers and Hotchkiss. I need to buy a laptop, and you could go up to Grand Junction somewhere to shop for it or do it online. I basically use Office... Open Office and Gmail, Picasa, Urban View, Google Search Video, and Quick and Legal, basically. So
you're not looking for a beast. You're just looking for something to help you get the job done, right?
Right, and I'm
okay.
I'm not decided whether... I don't know how to decide between premium and professional. I need to go to 7 because of some of the programs.
Yep.
Stay with just the home premium is fine.
Okay.
Unless you need to run... any older programs in Windows XP mode,
because
they have a little thing, and it doesn't come working out of the box. That's another thing people should understand. If you upgrade to Windows 7 Professional, and you're hoping to get the Windows XP mode out of the box, it's not there. It just gives you the ability to do that and do a virtual Windows XP. But if you don't need that, I wouldn't pay the extra $50 to $100.
Yeah, I don't think I need that because most of the programs now are, you know, they're getting to where they'll work on you know, 7 home premium.
Yes.
So that's where's a good place to shop, or should I do it online? Looking for good battery life. And
you know, if you look, let me tell you the computer that you're looking for, and then wherever you go, there is Best Buy and there's Office Depot and there's there's countless places plus online. But let's just talk about the computer that you're looking
for. Specs,
Just go for the specs. You're going to. I'm not even brand loyal. In fact, I wouldn't even say go for an HP versus a Toshiba or something like that. They're all pretty decent brands. I would recommend going with something that has a dual core processor, and that could be a Pentium dual core, or it could be an AMD Athlon dual core. What you're looking for is the word dual core.
Okay, great.
Okay. Once you find that, then you want to go with at least 4 gigabytes of RAM.
Very important.
Yep. Good. And that's more important than probably any other feature that you're looking for, because that'll keep it running smooth. If you get something with those two features, it will also have a DVD burner on it. That's not even something you have to even look for. It's going to be on it no matter what. It will also, I've noticed all of the new laptops that are out there, even the inexpensive ones, now have a wireless in, which is the fastest type of wireless card built into them too. So there's not a lot to look for. If you get that dual
wireless
core processor, what's that?
Wireless what not in?
Wireless in, yeah, it's 802.11in. It's just a faster wireless.
But what Adam's saying is don't worry about it, all that other stuff.
Oh, okay.
Shop just for the RAM and the dual core processor and the screen size that you like.
What about 64-bit versus 32?
Nope.
Most of them are 64 today.
Yeah, if you get dual core, they're all going to come with Windows.
Don't even worry about that.
Yeah, they'll come with Windows, Home, Premium, 64-bit is what almost all of them come with. So you'll be fine.
How about battery life?
Well, how often do you use it on battery?
I'm not planning to, but in case I wouldn't be using it that much. But.
Yeah, well, here's the problem with batteries and laptops. If you don't use the battery, then the battery dies within the first year usually. It gets down to where it lasts maybe 45 minutes the first year, and it could be as low as 5 or 10 minutes the second year if you leave it plugged in all the time. And that's fine. I mean, what I do is I never use my laptop on battery. I just carry the cable with me everywhere, and so when I need the battery, I just never need the battery. I just always have the adapter. Okay. I have a little MacBook or a little
netbook,
and I use it on battery all the time. So what I do with that is I try to run the battery down every time I use it, or very fairly often, so that it will charge back up, and it'll actually last a couple hours on battery, whereas my regular laptop that I plug in all the time maybe lasts 10 or 15 minutes, but I don't really need it to, but you need to either commit to using the battery a lot or not using the battery, because your battery won't last trying to use it on battery once a year or something like that.
Right, and it costs like $150 to replace a battery.
Yeah, and I just don't worry about the battery life too much, but somebody who travels a lot, that's where you might want to look at the battery life. And you're looking at between 4 and 8 hours, depending on which kind you get.
What about minimum speed, gigahertz?
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Yep.
Dual core processor, 4 gigs of RAM. Pick the screen size and go.
Good. Hey, thanks so much.
You bet.
All right. Thanks very much.
Great.
Take care. Good luck.
You too. Bye-bye.
241-8801, extension 1. It's very easy to buy these days because if you look for those few things, don't get caught up in all the other specs, because as Adam was mentioning, you get those two things as a minimum. Everything else can be great.
Yep.
You have a massive hard drive, good speed.
I helped my mother, and just to give you an example, I helped my mother-in-law pick out a laptop the other day. $500 was our budget.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a Gateway with an AMD dual-core processor, 4 gigs of RAM, and a 500-gigabyte hard drive, mm-hmm. wireless in, and a 16-inch screen.
Webcam?
Built-in webcam, mm-hmm. $500.
Yep.
And Windows Home Premium 64-bit. So that's it. You shop for those two features, you end up with everything else.
Yeah, in fact, there was this weekend, I don't know if it was Office Max or Office Depot. I don't think it was Best Buy. It was one of the offices had a 3 gigabyte RAM dual core processor or core 2. Forget which one, but it was the lower end, but it was still dual core for $399.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, and that 3 gigabytes of RAM is one of those things where if somebody knows how to upgrade their own RAM, you can probably find a really good deal and then buy a $40 RAM upgrade. And pop it in there and make it work.
And for some people, if you're just doing internet and word processing, Windows 7 work better with 3 gigs of RAM, far better than Vista did.
Yeah.
So very good. Well, we appreciate the question. 241-8801, extension 1. If you want to see Adam in his towel standing in the bathtub, I just tweeted again. Both Beth and I had our eyes closed and I took the picture, but you can go on Twitter at HelpMeRick and you can see the photo.
That's it.
And the website, by the way, where you can get all kinds of information on how to and how to install RAM, how to buy a laptop, how to take garbage off your computer that's gotten into your computer, go to helpmerick.com.
Yep.
And you'll find all that there. All right, 241-8801, extension 1, or 970-241-8801, extension 1. Or you can tweet either Adam or I, and we will try to answer those questions as they come in. So,
What's going on in the tech world, huh?
What else is going on in the tech world?
Oh,
I think,
man.
What I was thinking on the way in is, since we started our show 10 years ago, when we first started the show, well, actually, it's been 12 years. I started in 1998.
You started 12 years ago, yeah.
Well, okay, well, we'll reminisce in a minute.
Maybe.
I like to answer questions.
Hello, you're on with, we're talking about technology. This is Adam Cochran. We're with Rick and Beth. What can we do for you?
Yes. I have an Apple iPhone 3G.
Okay.
And it's unlocked.
Okay.
What I was trying to do is to pull off the contact list. Is there a convenient way to do that so that I have that in an Excel or Word document?
You're going to have to sync it with Outlook or with Gmail or something like that. Is the only way you're going to be able to pull that off. There is no copy to a card or anything like that. You're going to have to. Do you have, what kind of computer do you have?
It's a Dell, about a 5-6-year-old Dell Windows XP.
Okay. So, and do you have Outlook Express or? Well, I'm sure you have Outlook XP. I have Outlook Express on that. And when you hook up iTunes to your, when you hook up your phone to your computer, iTunes will start, and
right.
you're going to find under the. It's going to be under the applications, or it's going to be under, I forgot the name of the tab, but one of the tabs, when you have your iPhone plugged in, it'll ask you, how do you want to sync your contacts? And you can sync it to the Outlook Express address book, or if you have the full version of Microsoft Outlook, you can do that as well. And then once you get it on the computer, then you can export it as a Excel-type file, CSV.
Okay.
All right,
okay,
but the key is you
got
to sync it. That's the only way you can get that off.
In other words, there's no app for that.
Yeah, there is no app for that. Unless I don't know of one. There may
Maybe.
Be. I don't know of one. The best thing to do is sync it.
Sync it. Well, Apple iTunes leads me to believe they save that information there as well. Do
well,
they not?
They do, but it's not accessible by you. It's only accessible by restoring your iPhone. So they do back it up, but it's not backed up in a format that you and I could read.
They can't download it and read it. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Hey, thanks, guys.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Okay.
241-8801 extension 1. That's how it works. Give us a call. We're nice and gentle with you, hopefully.
You know, one thing I think we need to do, let's clear the air about the iPhone 4 right now because
okay.
people are out there listening.
I love what
Steve
Jobs did last week. You've got if
yeah.
whether you like Steve Jobs or not.
Yeah.
I love that he poked a finger in the eye of everybody and said, hey,
yeah,
we're selling more of these than anybody.
Yeah.
They sold better than any other phone.
Yep.
They're being returned less than any other phone.
Yep.
So basically, screw you, everybody.
Yeah.
I love that. I mean, that's the way to go. He didn't kowtow to people. The Consumer Reports. Somebody asked me the other day about Consumer Reports. What do you think about that? I said, I don't like Consumer Reports, personally.
Yeah.
Consumer Reports, to me, as a younger adult, 40 plus years old,
mm-hmm.
I grew up with Consumer Reports in the era when that was the only way you could get feedback on a
yeah,
product.
Exactly.
Here we're in 2010. Consumer Reports is a 1950s technology. They work in a lab
yeah.
in New York City. And we now know that when you work in a lab, it's kind of like a doctor, you know, in medical. I was telling a physical therapist friend of mine the other day, I said, when we talk about theory in terms of how the body heals, you can do something in a lab and it's not going to be repeatable in the general public.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing truer than that than in technology.
Yeah.
Because if you look at Consumer Reports, computer and phone and software reviews, I very rarely agree with any of them because
yeah.
I get to see literally thousands of computers a year and different configurations, and if I followed Consumer Reports advice, my clients would be broke, and I wouldn't have a reputation because they'd be using junk. So there's my quick diatribe on the whole iPhone 4 thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you'll find, if you're willing to go through the process, I think you will find a far better and more accurate review system on Amazon.com.
I agree.
Where people actually go in and play with the product and talk about it. And you can, it's
e-pinions. I still use
yeah,
e-pinions.
E-pinions is good too. It's generally mm-hmm. pretty easy to go in there and spot which ones are just the people who are disgruntled, you know, just
yes.
upset. They got their iPhone and they dropped it 10 minutes later and then got mad at Apple for not replacing it and
right.
you know, stuff like that.
And then which ones are just people going off the deep end on how good everything is,
right.
but not being objective
the
about
it. The fanboys, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can see that stuff, but exactly. I mean, sitting in a lab does not give you a genuine idea. And the iPhone antenna issue, every person who I've talked to and every article I've read from people who have the iPhone 4, nobody's had a problem. They've said, I just haven't seen the issue on my device. I kind of think it's a bad batch that kind of went through because I have seen the problem, but...
Well, before the show started, I had Adam hold my iPhone 4, and the thing didn't drop.
Yeah.
The little antenna didn't drop. I haven't had a dropped call except for in our hometown here in Grand Junction. I know where the dead spots are.
Right.
And if I answer a phone call before I reach that dead spot, I know it's going to drop.
Yeah.
And it's just a key of any cell phone company. They're all going to have small dead spots. AT&T just seems to have more of them.
Yeah. That's the
way it works. I don't think
it
matters on the phone. But yeah, I'd love to hear if anybody else out there agrees or disagrees with us on the way Apple handled it. I think they even kind of kowtowed a little bit by giving out the free case. But I think that they did that just for, you know, good nature or good PRs. They're saying we're gonna recognize some people had the problem.
Yeah.
But now I do think it was a little bit unscrupulous of them to come out and compare the antennas of other phones.
Yeah,
because, you know, you don't need to do that. Just say what he said at the beginning and be done with it.
Exactly.
Because
agree with you.
Now they're going to go back and forth with Nokia and Samsung and say, hey, our phone doesn't
I think
this.
They're going to bring back the extendable antenna just because
I saw your tweet
companies are going to start putting those back on their phones just to answer the whole public fear of antennas doing stuff.
Did you see? You saw the video of the guy who sang about the iPhone?
No.
Oh, you didn't see that one? Did you see it, Beth?
No.
You've got to go on to, just go to YouTube and search for iPhone 4 song.
Okay.
And there's a guy that he writes a song a day. He's been on the YouTube for like 2 years. He writes one song every single day.
Wow.
And he just writes about different things. And a lot of them are goofy.
Are they
in fact,
clean and appropriate?
Yes. Oh, 99% of them are. I haven't watched all of them, but the iPhone 4 is very good. But basically what he does is he comes out and says, if you don't like it, take it back. If you don't want to buy it, don't buy it. And apparently that's how they opened the Steve Jobs press conference last Friday.
The iPhone antenna song?
Yeah, let me see. Is it the guy with the green screen?
Day number 561.
Yep, I don't know if it's...
No, it's turned down.
That might be him, though. But that is it. That's the same guy.
Jonathan Mann.
But that's how they opened the whole press conference. Is they found this song and they played it. And so this guy's YouTube channel's gone nuts because they played it on the press conference. But anyway, I agree. But if anybody else has an iPhone 4, in fact, I had a guy in line. I was in line the other day at a coffee shop, and he had one.
What a smart guy. He does his videos in front of a green screen.
Yeah.
So that other people can go through and change it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's very good. Are one of your walls green?
No, not yet.
But you're going to put up
make a pull-down green screen. Yeah.
Right. I remember you said you'd do something there. But anyway, that's my little soapbox about Apple and the iPhone 4.
Cool.
And... not because I own one either. I just thought I was really regretting if he was going to pull it off the market, unless they really felt there was something to it.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, the more that you heard all the facts of the story, it's one of the same. And I think it tells us something about American journalism today, is
exactly.
that it's American sensationalism.
Yeah, I just read this book, fantastic book. You got to take a look at it. It's an old book, 1961. Mm-hmm. It's The Image. It's a very well-known book. In public relations and stuff like that, but that's exactly what the whole book is about. It's about creating news and creating pseudo events and buzzes, rather than, you know, how interviews aren't even really news. It's just a news creation event that they can air. Anyway, it's good stuff.
I think if anything else, the sales of the iPhone 4 are going to go up.
Oh, I think so too.
Because of not only the hoopla before, but the way Apple handled it.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about technology with somebody on the phone. Hello, you're on with Rick and Adam and Beth. What can we do for you?
I have a D-Link cable modem bringing my signal into my PC.
Okay.
From Comcast.
Okay.
And
does your iPhone 4 antenna go down when you hold it?
I'm sorry?
Does your iPhone 4 antenna decrease when you hold it at the bottom?
No, I have an iPhone 3.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So this D-Link modem bringing my Comcast signal into my PC.
Okay.
I had some problems. I called a technician. They came in, and they said the problem was the splitter I had in the line. And so taking the splitter out, I received full signal to my...
You're talking a coaxial cable splitter?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Okay. Now, while the technician was here, he tapped in, and he brought up something called upstream transmit power.
Okay.
And if that value was below 55, I had a good signal. If it went over 55, it started to get flaky and drop out.
Right. It's probably the interference in the coaxial cable. Now, that's a coaxial cable. That's nothing to do with a computer. So what's your question for us?
Well, is there a way or is there a program that you could recommend that I could put on my PC that would
no.
let me monitor?
No, there is not, because that's an electrical device that specifically, it's a specific tool that the cable people or electricians use to gauge the interference on that cable. It has nothing to do with the computer at all. So you cannot gauge the cable strength from the computer. The two different things, because once that cable's connected to the modem, there's no way to measure that strength.
Okay.
They can do it from the back end. If you call your cable company, they can send a signal through to your computer and then back again, and then they can kind of determine a little bit from that, just from their home offices. But you would have to go out to an electrical company and or electrical supply house and find a coaxial cable tester and then have to unscrew it from your modem every single time, put it onto the tester.
Okay. I thought there might be a software fix that would tap into that.
The other reason that they don't really provide a lot of consumer tools for that is because there's nothing the consumer can even do about it when there is a problem. All you can do is call the cable company And that's the same thing, you know, if your signal strength is that low and it's slow, you're going to call the cable company anyway. So, yeah, it's just, it would be nice, I guess, if you're a techie to be able to have those tools just to observe things, but it just isn't provided.
Doesn't work that way. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot.
You're sure, welcome. Okay. Bye-bye. 241-8801, extension 1 is the phone number. 241-8801, extension 1. That's a cable guy electrical thing.
Exactly.
Nothing to do with computers on that, unfortunately.
You know, I went to go see Inception the other night with Joel.
Uh-huh.
And they have a preview for the Facebook movie when you go see when you go see it.
And what's the Facebook movie look like?
It actually looks
who's playing Zuckerberg?
I'm going to see it when it comes on DVD.
Who's playing?
Oh, I can't remember.
Okay.
You'd think it would be the guy who's in all the
kid movies,
like Juno and all
that.
Right, he looks kind of like
Saras.
Anyway, but it looks interesting, but it looks like a made-for-TV movie, I think.
Instead of a big screen,
but it might be okay. But it seems like an intense drama, kind of a courtroom drama, and has some pretty good scenes in it, you know, that they show in the previews, but...
But it's
it'll
not
be
a
DVD.
It's not an $8 movie.
No. I feel sorry for the people who do that. Yeah, I just don't think that. I mean, it might be a good movie, but even then, it's still watching a 2-hour-long commercial.
As if they need it.
Yeah, exactly. They hit 500 million users this week.
I saw that
just in time for the Facebook movie.
Well, I was going to talk about in terms of starting the show in 1998 to what it is today,
yeah.
And I'm thinking, who were the big players in '98 we talked about? They were Norton.
Yeah.
They were Microsoft.
Yeah.
They were eBay.
Yeah.
And then PayPal came in, of course, because of eBay. Those were probably the four or five biggest names in technology that
right.
I can remember back then.
Right.
Not counting pets.com or that one. Yeah. That. but today, what would you consider? Well, let's ask Beth. Beth is of this generation. Beth, you've been very quiet.
Yeah.
If you were to name three or four technology companies that come right to mind that you think are popular today, what would you say they are? Just right off the top of your head. Don't think about it. Top of your head.
I don't know.
Oh, come on.
Well, the only thing I can think of is Best Buy. That's
okay.
The first thing that comes to mind.
Well, Best Buy
right.
sells
that's,
them.
That's a tech company, sure.
And Office Max is the other one.
Well, those are stores.
So
what
you're
about
thinking
companies?
Stores.
What about products? Names that you think of when you think of technology.
HTC.
Okay, and HTC's a big one, yeah.
Android.
Yep.
Which, yeah.
Is Google.
And then, I can't. Apple.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beth, we just got her. We should have prepped her for that question.
Yep.
We just attacked her too early. But that's what. But I think she hit on a lot of the common ones.
Yeah.
Apple is huge right now. Google is massive. I would say Google's number one, Apple number two.
Yeah.
I would think at the moment in terms of tech companies.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned something that's becoming way up and running, which is HTC, mm-hmm. which is a huge maker of cell phones for all of the networks.
Yeah.
And are they Korea or are they China? They're Korea, I think.
I don't.
Do you know, Beth?
Where
HTC is from?
I don't know.
I think they're Korea.
Chinese.
So they are Chinese.
Yep.
All right. So they are Chinese. I knew they were east, far east, but I didn't know where.
Taiwan-based manufacturer.
Oh, okay. So I was wrong about
that. Sorry, I was reading the Chinese writing, and it said Chinese, but then it says this Taiwan is a Taiwan-based
company.
Company stands for High Tech Computer Corporation.
Oh.
Now it's just HTC.
But
HTC, if I remember right, actually made a lot of the early Palm stuff, too.
Right. But so they were kind of like...
The Trio. They were an OEM, like LG and,
mm-hmm.
and some of those.
Asus and some of those people that now we see as brands. Yeah, LG was... I was reading about that just the other day. They were just a huge behind-the-scenes thing for refrigerators and stoves and stuff
Gold
like that.
Star and all mm-hmm. of those were old
manufactured
LG. Yeah.
But I was thinking how much that's changed. Microsoft, to me, is almost a second-tier company anymore.
Right.
And they're acting like it, unfortunately, because they keep coming out with products that are just marginal. Their Windows 7 obviously corrected a lot of things were wrong with Vista, but again, they had to go back and do that.
Well, that's it. Their marketing campaign is we're better than we used to be, not we're better than anybody else.
And not that we're innovating and bringing you great products.
There isn't really innovation. They come out with gimmick products that get, the tabletop, whatever they call that thing, the computer, the touch computer that's...
That
no one uses. I mean, we saw a million of them at CES and played with them, but nobody's using them. You don't see one in a restaurant. You don't see one anywhere you go.
Now, speaking of Microsoft, they did come out lately with a new Xbox.
Yeah.
And they're also coming out. Did they come out yet, or is it coming out?
It's coming out very, very soon. It's going to be $150, the Microsoft Kinect.
Yeah, the Wii-like thing where mm-hmm. you can... stand in front of it and use gestures and things, but it's not out yet.
Not out yet.
All right. So
it's priced at $150,
and that's an add-on to your box, correct?
Right.
And the Wii has been wildly successful and been on the market for what, 3 years now or 2 years?
Yeah. I want to say 4 years, but
wow, the Nintendo Wii has been out for a
came
while.
Out the same time as the Xbox, so yeah.
And it's at $199, I think. And you get all that functionality in it. And so here comes Microsoft again years later with a product
that's
more expensive.
There's still a lot of disadvantages to the Wii for their around. I mean, it doesn't have the multimedia capabilities and things like that. I really think that
for the high-end gamers.
Yeah, the Xbox is still a nice entertainment hub. Like you can still store movies on it and use it to kind of link up to your network. The Wii isn't even HD. So, I mean, there's definitely some weird areas.
Two different
niches, but yeah.
Speaking of the Xbox again, now they were one of the people that was behind HD,
HD DVD.
HD DVD.
Yeah.
Are they putting Blu-ray on their new one?
No. It's still DVD.
Jeez.
All right. We got some phone calls here. Hello. You're on with Rick and Adam. What can we do for you?
Hi. I have a quick question, please.
Sure. What can we do for you?
Okay. Occasionally, I get an unknown email, but it looks legitimate.
Yep.
Which concerns me is there a way to look at this message, to look at the message content without opening it? Because I've heard that if a person opens the email, kind of relates back to the sender.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. What email service do you use? Is it Gmail or is it AOL or who do you use?
No, we use the Gmail.
You do use Gmail. Okay.
And do you use the Gmail interface? Do you go on to the web and go to gmail.com or do you use Outlook Express or how do you read and write your email?
The .com.
Okay, good. All right.
You don't really have anything to worry about in that case. Just don't open up any attachments. You can open up the email and look at it, but
don't click links and don't read attachments.
Okay, that's very reassuring.
Good.
We appreciate your program, fellas. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. And I would also add,
those days are dying. It's so nice, isn't it?
Yeah, boy, it's nice. And I would also add, though, that if it's something doesn't look right, just delete it.
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't look like you know who it's from and it looks a little fishy, more than likely it is, just delete it.
Right.
I wouldn't even open it.
Yeah.
So that'd be, but Adam's right. If you're using a web-based service, Hotmail, Gmail,
Yahoo, AOL.
If you're using AOL.com, not right. AOL software.
Yeah.
Then you can.
Is there even still AOL software?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately.
You would know. I wouldn't. I haven't touched a computer in a long time.
But they. But if you open it up, you can look at the content. Just don't click links. Don't click pictures. And don't open the attachments.
Okay.
Because that's where you're going to get your bad guys.
Yeah.
And again, there are some cases where just opening the email, but you should be a little safer on the web-based.
It's becoming kind of a lame way to spread viruses anyway, because your emails now go through so many filtering systems before they it even gets to you that it's less likely that you're going to get something, but it's still possible. I still see them.
Well, it's still so much social engineering because people are willing to look at
right.
things.
Right. It's the links that – it's usually the links, not the attachments now that get people in trouble. It'll say, you know, look at my vacation pictures or I found this site interesting with a link and you just click on it.
It doesn't look interesting. I mean, if it doesn't look right, delete it.
Yep.
Delete it. All right. Before we got the call, we were talking about, were we finishing a thought on
technology companies? Is that what we were talking about?
We were talking about that. We were talking about Mike. Oh, yeah. We were talking about the Xbox. We kind of killed that. Yeah. That topic's done.
Yep.
But 241-8801 extension 1 is the phone number, 970-241-8801 extension 1. Or you can tweet us. Adam and I have not received a tweet question in two shows. We had a couple of them back in May, but in June we didn't have any tweet questions. I'm wondering if our Twitter folks in Grand Junction are just that knowledgeable.
Yeah, they just know. Well, it probably is true.
Well, just as I said that, I have two that come up.
Oh, do you? Great.
And one of them is from out of the area. It's Christopher, who is an Android user, and he says, are the integrated HD graphics on newer PCs good enough for basic video viewing, light picture and video editing? And so I think what he's talking about are the integrated graphic cards. Instead of having to buy a $150 or $200 high definition graphic card, does the integrated graphics cards on some of the new Intel and AMD motherboards, are they strong enough to be able to show HD video in all its glory? And I think so. Adam, what do you think? I think that you can watch an HD video on a newer PC.
Yeah.
I think part of it is the video processor, but the other is the dual core and enough RAM.
Right. Yeah, you can't watch it on a netbook usually. Netbooks will lock it up for the most part. But yeah, you can watch it on a PC or laptop just fine.
But a lot of the integrated ones have a minimum of 256 megabytes of RAM that it's allocated. So that gives it a lot of RAM and more power. So I think, Christopher, my answer would be yes, without looking into that a lot. And excuse me. John Guitar Man wrote us also, and he says, I love what Steve did as well, referring to Steve Jobs. I have had only one drop call myself, and I do have the proximity sensor issue, but I'm not alone. The proximity sensor issue. I wonder if that means he's the antenna issue.
Yeah, there was something with the proximity sensor holding up to your face that the new iPhones that the ones they're coming out with, they're saying that you can actually see the proximity sensor through the plastic, whereas the version you have, you can't see. It the sensor wasn't good enough or it was having problems. So it's
a little thing
for when you hold it up to your face, the screen goes off.
Right, and also I think the proximity sensor, too, is how quickly it finds your position on the GPS. I think that might be also, I think, but I'm not sure.
Well, that could be it, too. That could be it, too.
Because I think I read something about that, and if you reset the network settings on your iPhone, that will usually cure the proximity problem. Because sometimes if you go to your Google Maps, usually it finds you real quickly on the older phones, and on some of the newer phones, I don't think it did. And if you reset your network settings on the iPhone 4, it usually should. And he has a second follow-up question, John Guitar Man, via Twitter. I'm at Help Me Rick. Adam is at Talking Digital. He says, what are my thoughts on the new iPhone 4? He says, I love it. He says, I'm curious also on your thoughts compared to the Evo and the other Android phones. And as Adam will attest, and I looked at Beth's here, Evo 4, a couple months ago when she got it, and then last month, I really did do some big time searching on the web and looked at a lot of phones and tried to figure out, do I want to jump ship to the Android or go to the new iPhone? It turned out for me that I had invested so much time and application money in applications and learning how to use it that it made best sense for me to stay with it. That being said, I think the Android phones have come a long way in the last 2 years, and the newest crop are very good. They have good responsive screens. They're quick. They have nice cameras. Obviously, the application store is growing, and there's a lot of... Being so that they... I think I do have to say this. One reason I do like the iPhone application store is because they do tend to try to weed out the worst of the applications. And kind of like in the old Palm days, I am seeing on the Evo that when you go through the application store, there's an awful lot of extra things in there that you'll use and think, gosh, why'd they even put that one up there?
Right.
But they're, 'cause there's a lot of people that are just hobbyists putting up applications, and there's no filtering process that they have to go through, so you can do it.
Yeah.
But that makes it harder, I think, for the user to have to find the right Twitter app.
It's even more so going to be the case with Android now that they released a build-your-own app program. It just means there's going to be a lot more crummy apps out there, but it also may mean that there's a few more good ones, too. I don't know.
Well, and I think what you're going to have to do is use services like, in fact, Christopher, who wrote us an email earlier. I'm going to see if I can find his website real quick. He's part of a... He doesn't have it. Christopher, if you're out there still listening, I'd love for you to send me that web link, because he works for, I think it's called Andronica or something like that, but I don't know how to spell it. Let me see if I can find it here. Shoot, I can't find it this quickly on the air. But there's a lot of great little Android-type websites. Do you use any Android websites you go to look for reviews, Beth?
I use Android Central.
Android Central, which is one of the knockoffs of the Palm Central and those guys, and that's always a good place to start.
Yep.
So if you want to look for an app, you'll go see what other people are saying about that app.
Yeah, I'll look for apps and also just like phones that are coming out and
okay.
stuff.
Yeah, so that's a great one, Android Central. If Christopher tweets us back with the site that he's using, but that becomes, again, just makes us, requires you to be more of a involved consumer, and you just have to work a little harder to find the apps. But I think that's a positive and a negative on the Android side. So yeah, great questions from John Guitar Man and Christopher S. They sent us tweets at Help Me Rick, or you can tweet us at Talking Digital, and we'll answer those, as well as the phone calls at 970-241-8801 extension 1. And I think back again to the 10, 12 years ago when we first started this, Adam, and there were very few people that had smartphones or knew what a smartphone was.
Right.
And we certainly didn't talk about them very much on the air because they were so fringe.
Yeah, I think that when we did talk about them, we'd brag about them and then know that what we were saying was going
completely
on deaf ears, pretty much. Because, because we've been using integrated cell phones for a long time. I can't remember. I think the Kyocera 6035
that was
I
your
used,
first one.
I think that's the one that came out in 1998 anyway. So, So that was my first integrated one, and you had the handspring.
The handspring with the little Sprint phone, module.
Yeah, flash phone, whatever that thing was
that
called.
Thing was a honking big thing, but I enjoyed having a combined device that did everything. And now people in Beth's age category, I'm sure that you're going to, in a couple of years, you're going to forget about phones that only made phone calls.
Yeah.
Do you guys do you have any phones in your house that only make phone calls?
We probably have too many. I have a collection of all
these
broken
have,
cell phones.
Well, yeah, she buys
are,
broken cell
phones.
She has
right.
tons of, like, collects broken cell phones, but
old.
Yeah, but
they
the
did
of
just
phone
calls.
Don't.
Do you have any of the old Motorola flips? Do you find any of those?
And mm-hmm. She does.
Probably a few of those.
Yeah.
But it's a big, gigantic battery.
As far as our day-to-day phones, the phones we actually use, every phone we have is a smartphone now.
Yeah.
Do you guys have landline still?
Yes.
You do?
We have to. We wouldn't, except for we have to for business. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's right. Yes, right, because you do
faxing
and still.
Yeah, all kind of medical transcription stuff, all kinds of things.
Very good. Well, 241-8801 extension 1 is the phone number. HelpMeRick.com is the website. Twitter, again, at Talking Digital or at Help Me Rick, and you can send us a question in any one of those formats, and we will get it on the air for you. Some good questions today from the callers and from Twitter. We finally got a few questions there on Twitter from our listening audience out there. So if you have any other questions, feel free to tweet those or call us. I think the other thing, Adam, that came up in this past couple weeks is the Microsoft Security Essentials, which we're starting to recommend more and more for
right.
newer computers. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work still real well on older Windows XP. So
oh,
I still like to use AVG or Avast on older Windows XP. But if you have a newer Windows Vista or Windows 7 computer, getting a copy of Microsoft Security Essentials on it's free, it's a download online, is a nice little product, and they just came out this past week with their 2.0 version in beta. So they're coming out with it's going to be a little bit faster and supposedly going to be even a stronger protection.
Yeah.
So we'll see if that works, but I've liked it so far.
I was in Office Depot a couple days ago, and a gentleman came in and said, "Do you have any antivirus software for Macintosh?"
Uh-huh.
And I just watched as the people went and helped him try to see if they had any antivirus software, and I went by shaking my head because, you know...
was it hard to bite
pretty,
your tongue?
Yeah, it was. So I just walked out, and I went out there, and in the parking lot was a big van for a computer repair place.
Oh,
yeah.
And that was the person?
It was an IT person, yeah, that was buying it.
Oh my God. Don't tell me.
Yeah, I don't even know. I know you won't even know who it is, I don't think. I think it's some new person probably trying to make money in town.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, that's just incredible. Incredible
yep.
story.
Yep.
Well, I yesterday talking about eavesdropping, I was at one of my clients' house yesterday, and they had company. And so I was in the computer room there fixing their computer, and they had spyware, and they had an old copy of Mac. Well, they had a new copy of McAfee. They paid $70 for $70 for a laptop and $70 for a desktop.
Oh my gosh.
And McAfee they bought it, but they didn't know how to download it. They bought it last November.
Oh.
And so they paid for it, but wasn't even on their computers.
Oh man.
But anyway, I overheard in the outside that the woman that was visiting said, "You know, I just don't open email from people I don't know." And I can never hold my tongue when I hear that.
Yep.
Because that is the worst, worst, I repeat, that is the worst security tip that you could ever follow. And the reason why is because the bad guys know that that's what you believe. And that's the wrong thing to believe, because most of the things that get spread around through email that are bad are from people you do know.
Yep.
Because once they're infiltrated and they've been infected, their computer is going to send out garbage to their address book,
exactly.
which you are on.
Exactly.
So you have to be more aware of the people that you know than the people you don't know.
And here's another technique, because a lot of people think, well, I'm using Gmail or I'm using something else. I don't have to worry about them getting into my address book, which is true. The virus won't get into your address book. But the way that they work now is they gather email forwards,
mm-hmm.
and these are the emails that you have that have 400 email addresses in them, including all the people who you like to talk with and a whole bunch that you don't. They gather those email forwards, and then they cross-send spam messages and viruses
mm-hmm.
from one person in that email forward to another person, so that it's more likely that
right.
they'll know each other. So, yeah, it's... Email forwarding is my big thing.
Don't get me started.
I hate email forwarding, and I just can't stand it. I don't mind forwarding a message for business
right.
for everybody. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the cute puppy or the funny joke or the inspirational slideshow.
Where Aunt Mary sits there and forwards about 30 of them a day.
Oh, my gosh. And not only is it clutter, but it's dangerous. It is actually hurting you to do that, because it means that you will at some point fall victim to spyware or to some malware of some sort.
Because you become numb.
Yeah.
You become numb to all those emails, so you'll click on just about anything.
You get in the habit of clicking on links inside because, I mean, if somebody sends you a thing and I think this site is funny, or you're going to love this site, or this is for our veterans, or or whatever, or, you know, they can't take God away from us, or put whatever you want to into that email with a link, and people will click on it.
Yep.
And
the bad guys know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, I found Chris's website.
Okay,
because I follow them on Twitter.
Good.
And it's kind of a weird website in terms of the name, but it's Andronica. So you might want to check this out too, Beth. But it's Androinica.com, Andronica. But they have a huge following and do some really, really good stuff on the Android operating system. And you could follow these guys at Andronica.com on Twitter.
Cool.
But it's a great site. Christopher, he and I were on a blogging site together, and we started becoming blog buddies where you kind of help co-promote each other.
Sure.
And that's how I met Christopher, and then he got hired on as a article writer for this new company.
Cool.
For this new website. And he knows his stuff. He's a huge Android fan and has been right there from the beginning with the Android and likes it very, very well. So Andronica. So it doesn't have a D in it, which I thought was kind of interesting. All right, 241-8801, extension 1 is the phone number. We have time for a couple more questions. Or, again, if you prefer to use your computer, you can tweet us at HelpMeRick or at Talking Digital, and we will answer those questions. Did you get any questions on Twitter?
I did not. I did not.
Not yet?
Nope.
All right. I'm looking here to make sure that I didn't get no new ones yet as of the moment. I think the other thing that came up since last month in the technology world for the summer for us here in Colorado is Google made a huge coup into the public school systems. And I don't know if you heard about this.
I didn't hear about that.
But Colorado and Iowa became the first two states, the entire state, where the Board of Education of those two states has signed a contract to go to Google Apps. And so that means in those two states, Iowa and Colorado, within the next 2 years, they will not have Microsoft Office installed in their computers.
Really? So you know, I've been using Word, Office Live Word, mm-hmm. just for because it helps me with some of the stuff I'm doing for a job.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand it. It's,
I tried the it too. I'm glad you said that.
The problem is it's not the functionality. I mean, as far as being a word processor, I'm cool with that.
Right.
It's when you want to export that file to, you know, save it on your desktop or you want to do something. It's just not there. It's horrible. But then I have a lot of complaints about Google Docs too. I mean, in Google Docs, there's a lot of formatting stuff I need to do for papers that I write that it just won't do.
Right.
And things like paste,
special.
Pay special with unformatted text, you know, things like that. So
yeah, there are limitations.
You know,
how about Zoho?
Zoho's all right, but it's still.
Yeah, if you need to do a lot of formatting, you still have to have a desktop app.
Right.
There's no doubt about
it. And OpenOffice doesn't quite translate into Word right, so it's really hard. There needs to be more of a standard formatting, but for the most part, for what most people do, OpenOffice will work terrific. Google Docs will do a great.
My daughter's school, she's going to in the fall, is total Google Docs.
Yeah.
Their email for the college is Gmail.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're using their own domain.
Sure.
But also what they've done is all the accounts are the calendars and the word processor and spreadsheet, all the professors, and then they encourage the students to use it as well, is all on Google Docs. So the professors put up their syllabus, they put up their assignments, everything else on Google Docs so that they don't have to hand out sheets of paper.
No,
they don't have
sense.
To say, go to this website and download it. They just go on to their Google Docs, and there's a shared document with the whole class.
Right.
Very cool. It's very cool stuff.
Yeah, it is very handy.
I would love to. You got to tell. We got a few minutes left. Adam is doing an online school. He's getting his master's degree. How's that working out?
They use a service called Wimba. To do it. It's University of Memphis. It's a legitimate school. It's not truck driving school. But as I'm working for my master's.
Not that there's anything wrong with truck driving school.
No, as long as they really teach you how to drive trucks. Oh, I'm just talking about the six-week courses that don't do anything.
You already got your diploma in the mail, though, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, of course. Of course.
It's okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. They use a system called Wimba, and it's actually very low tech. I was kind of surprised. There's no whiteboard in it. There's nothing. It's just basically it's an online. You log in. You listen to the teacher talk, and you take turns speaking. Two people can't speak at a time, and it has a little chat room along with it, and that's it.
No video. Oh, so it's all audio.
Yeah, it's all audio. It's like old Skype. Yeah.
And you don't even see the instructor.
No.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really, really old.
I'm surprised.
It works. It's stable and everything.
Are all the classes that way?
Yeah. They use that whole system, that Wimba system. Now, the cool thing is it does archive everything. So you can go to any point during the class whenever there was a change in the speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And you can listen to just that one part. And it shows you what was happening in the chat room at the same time. So it has its advantages. But it's not, I think there's a whole lot more a technology in a LiveScribe pin than there is in that Wimba system.
Right.
But it works. It does the job.
Now, real quickly before we close, because I made reference at the top of the show that Adam was in the bathtub in his towel. That was in reference to something that Adam told me about was going on with Old Spice
doing
this
Twitter, yeah.
this huge campaign. Interestingly enough, I saw yesterday somebody tweeted that their sales have gone down.
Really?
Yes, since the thing. So I don't know what that's about.
I don't believe it.
But
I don't believe it.
But there's already a bunch of spoof videos that. And Brigham Young University did a great one on libraries.
BYU,
did you see that one?
Yeah, you wouldn't even know it was one of the ripoffs of it. I mean, they really did a good job with it in one take, and the guy sounds just like him and everything.
But it was very funny.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you haven't seen those, go to YouTube and just go to the Old Spice. It's probably just YouTube.com/Old Spice.
Yep, that's it, and you can watch all those. They made 70 videos one day and about in the same the
were there
next
any
day.
On TV or no?
No.
Nope. That was all online.
It was all online, and it was all in replies to comments that people had made on YouTube or
Facebook.
On Yahoo, or they just watched all the social networks to see what people were saying. And
very clever.
And he made these little 30-second responses. Like I said, 70 in a day. And so it really got a lot of attention for Old Spice.
The KFM would have thrown Adam out of here if he had been in a towel.
Yeah, they wouldn't allow that.
And by now, Beth and I's eyes would be bleeding.
That's
so we decided that was not a good idea.
Yep.
All right, well, we better wrap it up for this hour of the KFM Radio Noontime Public Affairs. We'll be back again on the third Wednesday in August and answer more of your questions. In the meantime, you can visit our website at helpmerick.com. You can follow Adam on Twitter if you're a Twitterer, at Talking Digital, or myself at Help Me Rick. Have a great rest of the month, and we'll talk to you in August.